The Surf Europe Podcast.
BBC World Service presents...
This is London.
Welcome to the Surf Europe Podcast. I'm Paul Evans.
I'm Ben Mundy.
Coming up on the show, we've got very special guests joining us down the line. Super coach Glenn Microhall joins us from Margaret River. He's had a couple of drinks and he's in a state of undress. We've also got Derek Riley of Beach Grip fame joining us down the line from Bondi Beach. He's fresh from having a spot of supper with Kelly Slater and the Outernome crew. And of course, we've got all the news and views and discussion from around the surf world. We've even got a feature called Moan at Monday where you, the listener, get a chance to get in touch with us. But enough about you guys. Let's get on with the show. Okay, well, let's get down to our first piece of news. Of course, the World Surf League season's kicked off. But actually, Snapping Bells, they're not our first bit of WSL news. The main story, of course, Ben, you're banned. You were banned by the WSL. What's the situation? You still banned? You good?
No, I've had official confirmation, Paul, from both Travis and Kieran, the WSL commissioners, that I'm back with potential to get on the team. No one actually wants me at this stage, of course, but right. If they were
Sounds
to,
lifted.
I wouldn't be lifted. Yeah, I mean, it's been a long road.
You served a year, 18 months. You did a stretch.
At least, yeah. I liken it to Nelson Mandela's Long Walk to Freedom, or the Guantanamo Bay's sort of prisoners incarceration, which obviously is a bit longer.
The Guilford Four?
I wouldn't go the Guilford Four. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, mate.
But anyway, you know, like Nelson, I've forgiven and forgotten, and I'm back in there. So it's a shout out if you want to hear me, which is also very surprising.
Yeah, if you're promoting a low level WQS event, maybe a 1,000 or even 500 points event, then Monday is available and his ban is lifted. You wrote an article on Surfline about how Wilco could win the world title. You actually did that after snapping before
bells.
I did. You proud of that?
I'm very proud. I've written a follow up. Called I Told You So. Bells, because I tell you what though, interesting statistic or not, there's 11 times in the history of pro surfing that the surfers won the first two events, which is quite a lot, I thought. And of those 11, 7 of the surfers have gone on to win the world title. So, precedent, Paul, precedent.
Okay.
You do the math.
Freedom, there ain't no fucking freedom!
Alright, on the ladies' side, Courtney Conlogue, big win at Bells. Good performance from her. Bit of controversy in that one. I guess the one everyone liked to talk about was the Malia Steph heat. Did that upset you?
I didn't see it, to be honest.
Okay, good.
I missed that one. Yeah,
excellent.
I missed it.
Yeah, glad you came along.
Courtney, I think she's just taking it. She needs to take things more seriously. I really think that she's not sort of focused and she's not training and she's not just having too much fun. And I think if she changes that, she's got a probably chance to go all the way. That's a joke. She's super fit, super focused. Yeah, her and Carissa are, I think, are miles ahead. I can't see anyone beating those two. Oh, I did see one thing, though. I think it came out of the Quicksilver Pro when they, big sort of WSL news flash that Tyler Wright had done the first ever nose pick manoeuvre. Not her actually picking a nose, the actual nose pick reverse. And that was pretty huge, I thought. I mean, it's not kind of in the...
What's the giant defay?
Ah, that's right.
Yes, good job you've done your research. Yeah.
Please hang up and try again.
Glenn Microhall has burst onto the coaching scene with two wins from two with his charge, Matt Wilkinson. We've got Micro live on the line, naked, from Margaret River.
Wednesday.
Hello, Glenn. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm well. Are you naked?
Yeah, I'm naked again.
Awesome.
Micro, how you going, mate? It's Paul, you good?
G'day, good. How are you?
Yeah, terrific.
We thought we'd ring up you to get a bit of the eyes and ears on the WSL. You're right in the thick of it at the moment. Not competing this year, but coaching. How's that going for you, Glenn?
Yeah, it's been a pretty cool transition into from being a surfer to a coach with getting results. It's been pretty fun, but yeah, it's obviously all a learning curve for me. It's all, you know, I've been coaching before, but you know, treating it as a full time gig, I'm learned along the way.
How come you're so good at it? I mean, you've won, obviously, Volko won the first two events. What's your secret?
Just good luck.
Come on.
Come on, Ollie.
Good timing. No, I'm just trying. I don't want to say I'm good at it, but it's, I'm enjoying it. What I'm best at is, you know, in reading the conditions and trying to make a heat plan to make the heat and score well and put that all in a time frame. But then to deliver the message to each individual person's, and it's different for each person. It's like, in one person wants it real simple, and the other person can take on as much information as you can give them, and that's kind of the real challenge.
Yes.
Like, get the right amount of information to the right person.
Sure. Would Wilco come in on more of the sort of simple end of the spectrum, or how coachable is?
Nah, believe it or not, he's the opposite. He's so clever, and you can give him as much as you want, and he's got his own opinion too, which is awesome. You know, it's not just like, all right, tell me what to do and I'll do it. He's like, and you're working with what he sees as well, and believe it or not, he can take in as much info as you want to give him, and that's, that's exciting for me, because I love getting right deep into it and thinking about every little thing and every little scenario that can pop up in a heat, and he's clever enough to take it all in and use all those things at the right times.
And what about the rumours circulating that you were contacted by John John's camp, mate? You're like the super coach, the Jack Gibson of the surfing world right now. Who doesn't want you right now, Hawley?
No, it's, I was chatting to him and his manager and crew, and it was all, I was in talks there for a while last year, and, I went and caught up with John John and we hung out for a bit, and it was just kind of, he was a bit, he was keen to use different people at different events and take that approach, kind of like Carissa Moore's doing, and it's not to say it's not right at all, but for me, I had no job at the end of last year, so I was looking for more of a year-round role with someone, whether it was coaching or digging holes. I needed a full-time job, so
would he have,
fortunately, Wilco and that were keen, and it all worked out.
Would he have brought you into Brazil for the sort of aerial aspect of his surfing, do you think?
Yeah, he's pretty average at airs, and I'm really good at it.
It looks like he blew it, really, though, doesn't it? Judging on the first two events.
So far, he's made...
Yeah, suck.
Also, I was wondering, is it a big, conflict of interest for you coaching someone from a foreign country? Obviously, Wilco's Australian and you're Irish. Like, is that, do you feel do you feel unpatriotic to your Irish brethren, or?
No, I don't. It's a job, and I want to coach whoever I've got to coach. It's
sorry, I had to do that.
I wouldn't coach you, though, Paul.
No,
he's uncoachable. All right, before we go, Hawley, you're in Margaret River now. What's the plan for you and Wilco the next 2 weeks? How do you set about making this a hat trick and keeping that yellow jersey till pipe? What's the plan?
The plan is to not change a thing. It's if it ain't broken, don't fix it. And he's been surfing good. He's been feeling good. We've been having beers at night. Keeping a good balance on everything, we're not having too many beers, but having a couple and ticking all the boxes, doing all the homework and making sure he feels good, which is, he's in a position where he's got a yellow jersey and a huge lead. It's not hard to feel good, so it's just keep doing what we're doing.
What about world title chances? I'd obviously early yet, but if you had to assess them, if you were a gambling man?
He's got it in the bag.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.
Okay, well, it's time now for part of the show we like to call It's a review of what's been happening in surf news or just elsewhere in the universe, in the cosmos. What have you liked? What did you not like so much? Ben, it's time to ask you, what's your first...
Well, I'll tell you what was bad. I'd sort of start on a bit of a downer, but Ryan Martin, who was a 30-year-old man who drowned in Fingal Beach, but on the way to drowning, he went and rescued a 7-year-old girl. He swam out on his own bat, held the girl aloft in his arms for about 5 or 6 minutes till the rescuers came. They grabbed her just before he let go of her. She was saved. He unfortunately drowned in the rocks. So that's very bad, but just a heroic effort. And I'd just like to pay tribute to Ryan Martin from Burley Heads. Now, Paul,
What have you got? That's...
Okay, well, my first That's Bad is, what's the crowd at Bells? Or, to be honest, mate, the lack of it. Where was everyone? Like, seriously, I don't know.
Torquay pub?
Yeah, there was sort of no one there, relatively speaking. I mean...
Were you there?
No. Torquay's, what, it's an hour away from the second biggest city in Australia, the sports mad nation of Australia. It can't be because you have to pay to get in. Australians are used to paying, like, $25 for avocado on toast or whatever. Can't be the money. They get 100,000 people along to watch that weird AFL thing that you guys like. And, like, the, you know, the crowd, like, why wasn't anyone there? They had a fun run in Capitol on Easter Sunday. There was five times as many people watching sort of podgy, middle-aged men, me, and women jog along on the Capitol. More people than at Bell's Beach, the historic, famous surfing event. What's up with that? I don't realise. Where was everyone?
Maybe they're in the stands. Maybe they're a massive amphitheatre. They've got big stands on the headlands. Maybe they're right there.
Just a bit underwhelmed by how many people weren't there. Just quite surprised at that, but hey-ho. Ben, what's your second?
Well, this is a piece of a throwaway quote that I read online in the Sydney Morning Herald, an Australian newspaper. And it was Lane Beachley being interviewed after the Manly event. And she said...
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I love Lane, don't get me wrong. She said, I could still qualify, but I compete to win. Now, maybe Lane could... So she's saying that if she just went on, she would qualify. Done. But she was not going to do that because if she's going to go out there and compete, she's going to want to win the world title.
Yeah.
I just think that's a bit presumptuous, Lane. I don't know if she could qualify.
How many world titles has she got?
About 400.
A lot.
She's got a lot.
She's pretty good.
She's really good.
I mean, I haven't seen her surf lately, but...
She charges.
I'm semi-backing her on that.
I just thought it was a bit... You know, these young girls and sports moved on. Could she come back? I'm not sure. So I just thought, Lane... Mate, no, put your money where you're meant to go and compete.
I don't know, mate. To be honest, I think she probably could qualify. She might not obviously enjoy the success she had previously on the actual CT. But in terms of the qualification, why not?
Well, I don't know. Well, that's a whole point. She's not going to do that because she wants to win the world title. But I just thought it was a bit bad. I thought it was presumptuous. I thought she overrigged herself. Paul, have you got another?
Yeah, I do, actually. Fantasy Surfer, actually. Do you play that?
I don't.
Shit. I just don't get it. It doesn't work. Like, I mean, I understand the concept. You pick a team, but it's not a team sport. It's just individuals in a knockout format. So I understand the concept. I think originally it came from baseball. You pick a team of people, you use your kind of skill and your knowledge. Obviously, the idea is you choose people that are... You know, that cost at a low value, they've got good skill. I guess everyone knows who the guys are that are going to do well, but, you know, that's the real kind of skill, is picking those kind of cheaper guys that are going to perform well. It's not a team sport. It's a knockout tournament. There's only 11 events in the year anyway. It's just pointless. You might as well just flip coins and decide the outcomes.
No, but sure, you can, with your surfing expertise and your knowledge of the sport, you can pick those people that you think are going to do well in the event.
They could just surf against each other.
Yeah, but the
they
seating, just, what about the, doesn't the they, seating take that into consideration?
I don't know, but then you're just talking about, that's just administration, isn't it, seeding? You're not talking about how good someone is. Like, you could have, in theory, have 8 surfers in the team, 4 of them could surf against each other, round 3, that's shit. But don't take my argument for it. I'll just give you some factual evidence. I had a mate of mine, I did it 1 year, admittedly. We had a clubhouse, or whatever it's called. A mate of mine picked his team of Snapper.
A real clubhouse?
Well, you know, it's what you call when you put a few teams in a...
A virtual clubhouse.
Anyway, so he picked his team of Snapper, didn't know you could trade surfers, so he kept his team the same. For the year, came 40th in the world. Fantasy Surfer... Shit ass. Okay, well, Ben, on a slightly more positive note, it's time to hear your first. No!
That's good! I'll tell you who's good. It's Lindy Irons. I don't know if you've... Well, you've definitely seen his Paul, because it was on the Surf Europe website. There was a little cartoon animation done by the lovely, if unemployed, Matt Wade.
And Ward.
Matt Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did all the animation. Brilliant job of a little story that I did on a boat trip that involved Lindy Irons... It involves lots about her breasts, let's be honest. And I thought I should clear it with Lindy before it went live on the Surf Europe and went viral, as it's done. And she responded via email, "Honestly, I laughed so hard. This is amazing. I'm not offended at all. I take it as a compliment. My saggy mum boobs used to be perky and cool back in the day. Thanks for making me laugh and remind me of all the good days we had." And I just, my heart melted. And I just thought, Lindy, she's cool. That is good.
Is that something of a betrayal of trust? You're reading out a personal email that she sent you?
She wouldn't mind. I hope she wouldn't mind. She's probably listening now live. Even though it's not obviously going out live, she might have found a way. She might have cyber phishing or stuff. I don't know what she's doing. But, yeah, if it is a betrayal, I'm sorry. I still think she's amazing and it's worth telling. Now, Paul, have you got something?
No! That's good! Yes, I do. WSL season kicked off. That's great. Surfing's good, but maybe one of the best things, Sean Doherty's contest write-ups. Isn't he good? I mean, his stock is soaring. I saw one website, one of the Aussie ones, Coastal Watch. They started off with Sean Doherty on, colon, and then the title. Like, kind of the first proper noun in the title wasn't the name of the event or the surfer that won. It was Sean. He's doing a good job of making those write-ups interesting, but that isn't particularly what's impresses me the most about him. What I really like is that he's kind of like the Adele of surfing. Do you know what I mean by that?
He's not. I mean, he's got large ears.
No. I'm not talking about. I just mean if you like met Adele, say at B&Q. Well, for non UK based listeners, that's a hardware. So if you met Adele at the bus stop, for example, and you were chatting, and she went, "Oh, you know what I mean?" Like the way she talks, you would never think. She's probably got this incredible voice and she's got this... If you met Sean, like, I don't know, the Aries or, you know, just somewhere, or he came round and you could kind of imagine him with one of those sort of suede Aussie leather tool belts, maybe like a slightly out-of-date boardie, slightly short boardie with blunt stones with a tape measure, kind of measuring up some decking. Or, do you know what I mean? Something like that. You would never think, like, he could, you know... have such a good turn of phrase. It's kind of surprising that what comes out of him if you met the man. Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, I do. Yeah, I kind of get you. I'm just hesitant to blow more hot air up that Adele's ass.
To put it another way,
I was the best man at his wedding.
Yeah,
I want to do that. So I just can't.
Yeah, to put it another way,
I don't even read it just because in case it is good.
You've described.
I refuse to.
You've described it on different terms in the past. I think you said to me. That cunt could put away peace.
Well, that's the highest accolade.
From one Australian man to another, that's kind of like the Victoria Cross, isn't it?
It's the highest accolade. And he also, on the flip side of that, he also paid me back a $35 debt in 3 instalments over 6 months. So, you know, you take the good with the bad. But, oh, yeah, I get you. I love his writing. I just don't like the man.
Let's move on. Ben Mondi, what is your second?
Wilco's Bar Bill. Now that is good. It featured 68 beers. This is after he won at Bell's. He went out for a quiet drink. The Bar Bill, which is just a portion of it that we saw. I don't know, this is not even all of it. 68 beers, 70 tequila shots, 30 shots of Boone, 30 shots of Galliano, 142 shots of vodka. And that was before he hit the Melbourne Casino. Now I'm not sure they were all his. But I just think that that's the way to go out, just party with your mates. Obviously, he was shouting the crew. He spent $5,000. He just won $100, so fair enough. And that just made me feel like I wish I was there celebrating with Matt and getting free drinks.
That cunt can put away peace.
Paul, this might be your last.
No! That's good!
Yeah, Bart Lynch, BL, on the commentary. Don't like to talk too much about the commentary. Everyone kind of does that. What I like the most about him isn't his insights or the thing. I just like the way that when he talks, you can kind of hear that he's smiling. Do you know what I mean? He's just sort of stoked, and he can kind of hear the way like he talks. And I thought his insight was good. He's refreshing. I thought it was brilliant. I just like the cameo as well, though. I'll temper that by saying there was some kind of clamour online. You should get him to do every event. Don't. Don't get him to every event, because inevitably then he'll just get ripped apart by all the commenters and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I just like keeping these people that, you know, we know and we love and, you know, we trot them out every now and again. They do an amazing job and then they kind of go keep their stock high by being rare, colourful birds. Bart Lynch, amazing. And nice guy too.
Oh, a legend of the sport. And, yeah, positive and, yeah, great insight. But Would you think that also overflowed into your appreciation of the Heritage series where he surfed against Damien Hardman? Did you watch that?
Yeah, I actually did. Yeah, I didn't watch it live, but yeah, I watched. I caught up with it. Yeah,
and you enjoy those? You enjoy the Heritage series as a concept?
Yeah, why not? I'll say yes. Yeah, why not? I mean, there's something, slightly. Kind of, yeah, unsettling about watching like middle-aged men with grey hair, kind of not in Barton's case, but you know, love handles and kind of pot bellies. I thought it was interesting.
You're sitting me on the fence here. You're not really saying what you feel, Paul. Yeah,
I like it in a way in that I quite like things that are shit. Do you know what I mean? I sort of take. Is it called kind of Schadenfreude? Is that like a shameful pleasure? Is that the expression?
That is,
yes. I like it from that. I quite like it when they do events and the waves are really, really bad. What I don't like is when it's all right. I like it when it's like really good and pumping or terrible. And I quite like the Heritage series sometimes because it's sort of so bad that it's kind of good. Joining us down the line now, all the way from Bondi Beach, Australia, we've got Derek Riley. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Derek.
We're very well indeed. What's going on, mate?
I've just been at the Australian launch of Out of Man with Kelly and John Moore at this gorgeous house on the waterfront. It's a fabulous night.
Wow, straight in with that, eh?
Wow, I just pick up that name there, Derek.
Yeah, but I figured I'd come straight in with that. Just got home.
All right, good. Well, look, we're going to come on to that in just a minute. I'm just going to give a quick bio on you, just in case any of our listeners are unfamiliar. So you were the editor of Surfing Life magazine back in the 90s. Came over.
Yeah, back in the 90s. My first job.
Sacked or quit?
No, I got off the job to launch Surf Europe.
Good, okay. So there we go. So you came to Europe, strong career move. Launched Surf Europe founding editor. That went swimmingly for a while for you. Back to Australia. Started Stab magazine.
Yeah, in between that, I edited a men's interest magazine.
Good.
A weekly men's interest magazine featuring nudity. And then I did a bit of work for Tracks and Waves. And then I started Stab magazine in 2003.
Right. And then you kind of like left and went back again. You sold out your share. I think I read on Transworld Business you did it for a packet of Tim Tams and a chocolate paddle pop. And then a couple of weeks later, Surf Stitch bought it for $14 trillion. Is that about right?
That's pretty accurate. It's funny. It's one of those things where someone takes their rare kind of penny they found and someone offers them $100 for it. And you go, yes, I've won the game, and then they obviously on sell it for $10 million. Yeah.
So, mate, tell us about the Outer Known Party, Kelly. How is he? What's going on in the expensive surfware market?
It's funny. It's one of those things where you go to this sort of launch, but there's just people standing there having really good drinks and very good food, and about a million people getting photos of Kelly.
Derek, Ben here. I suppose you've been to a few of these launches in your long, illustrious career. How have they changed? Back in the day, I imagine Surfing Life or Tracks would have been a keg in the corner and maybe a topless barmaid for a bit of exotic appeal. How has it changed, those launches in your time?
Still people standing around, but the quality of food and alcohol is certainly a lot different. But it's funny, but it's not Billabong or Rip Curl or Quicksilver anymore. I think Rip Curl, as you know, Ben, would still be a keg in the corner and a few North Korean slaves hanging around. And then, but Out of Home is lovely.
What about the difference? You've started up Beach Grit, which is a web-based kind of magazine or portal, as they call it these days.
It is kind of a magazine.
How is it different? How is working on the intranet as opposed to the old print days?
Oh God, I think print sucks. I hated the fact that you do an interview, and because you had such a long time, it'd take you about a week to do the interview. You'd just be sweating over for a week, and then you do it, and then you take about a week later to transcribe it, and then you give it to the designer, take a couple of weeks to look at it, and then about a day before deadline, he'd design it, and it gets sent to the printer. In God knows where, and they'd come back and no one would read it. And yeah,
it's all lies. It's
totally
all lies.
Fucking sucked.
I think you just
and it's funny. You'd have these print magazines and no one bought, and you'd be going to advertising. We sell 50,000 of these, knowing full well you printed 2,000 of them and lucky to sell 100 of them.
Mm.
And but online's amazing because if there's eyeballs on it, you get comments and you get shares, and no one can fudge that, and people rip into you. And I love the immediacy of it, and if you have typos, you can change them.
What's Beach Grit about? Like, sum up Beach Grit kind of briefly for us.
Well Beach Grit is it's the vice of that. We pitch it as the vice of surfing, and just having a bit of fun with it. You know, we try not to be aggregators, but like ultimately we're lazy as well, so we just end up aggregating the same stories as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But when we started, we're going to have this video element, and then our third business partner pretty much just disappeared off the face of the earth. So we're just coming back now, and we're about to launch a video channel with some very funny, or at least interesting, videos.
Would you say there's probably a bit of lack of humour in the surfing world these days, Derek, and maybe Beach Grit might be a bit of an antidote to that? Would that be a fair statement?
I hope there's it's an antidote to it, but I think the surfing world has always been pretty humourless. You know, I guess Truax and the 80s and whatever, and probably your time had a bit of humour, but there was never much humour about. No one could really take a joke very well. Surfers are very, very sensitive, as you know, Ben and Paul, and they don't take two quank surf companies either.
Well,
the suckers.
It's quite nice.
Perceived insults can fucking leave you broke 30 years later.
This podcast is going to carry on that long tradition of whacking humour, I hope, Paul, if all goes to plan.
Yeah, so this is the bit where you get to have a go, a little stab at Stab. Are you going to something about how many FCF winners or something like that along those lines? Go. Unleash.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, Chaz loves that. I wanted to avoid it, but I've really enjoyed it. I've found them very, very funny. And I've never seen, a portal so clearly change and be so obviously influenced by its owner. But it's funny, fuck. I'd happily sell everything I own, to have that kind of money. So I don't think it's a bad thing. We're just having fun, Chaz has fun. We just laugh about it. It's no big deal. It's not the Washington Post. We're not changing the world. We're not investigating...
If Chaz was going to get another tattoo, do you think he would get a Stab or an Inertia tattoo on his neck?
I think he'd get a Inertia is racist tattoo. Ben, can I say your Lindy Irons tits story was the funniest thing I've seen, I think, in surf.
Thank you, Derek, and thank you, Lindy.
Jesus Christ, that was good.
Monday. Sometimes we all need to get something off our chest, and surfing is certainly no different. Have you got a moan, a gripe, a grumble, a whinge? Have you got a lament? Perhaps you just want to break us off a little something. If you need to let us know what you don't like about surfing, perhaps Ben can help. Tell him about your problems. We are going to go to the phone lines now. We have Eric from the east coast of the UK getting in touch. Eric, welcome to the podcast. What would you like to moan about?
Hi there, Mondy. I want to moan about Taylor Steele. In particular, I want to moan about Castles in the Sky. You remember the film you did a couple of years ago?
Okay, back up, Eric. So we're talking about one of the great filmmakers of surfing history and a film called Castles. What about Castles in the Sky don't you like?
Well, Castles in the Sky, a couple of years ago, but I watched it the other night for the first time in a while, and it's got some really good surfers in.
Did you feel cheated, Eric?
Well, I did. I mean, Taylor Steele, supposedly the greatest filmmaker, the greatest surf filmmaker around, or one of them anyway. But it was like an undergraduate student had been given a video camera and a bunch of world famous surfers and told to make and a lot of money because it looks like a big budget sort of production. It was just crap. I don't want to put words in your mouth. That's my opinion. I think he's sullied. Reputation. They go to Africa and all of a sudden this exotic African tune comes on, then they go somewhere Asian and this vaguely Asian music comes on.
There's often a temple shot in there, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. It's such a cliche. It's like an hour long airline commercial.
Okay. Okay, well, there we go. I just think, so far, you're off the bat.
It's that's a good very good
man. And I want other readers, I keep saying readers, other listeners out there, to if they can match Eric's disdain and sort of bored angriness and moan at Mundy, I'm happy to help. Thanks, Eric. You've been a great moaner.
I feel better. Thank you.
Cheers, Eric. Just another Mona Monday. Okay, we've got another caller on the line for Moan at Monday, and this is Chris Brown. He's calling from Melbourne in Australia. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, good. Awesome. What would you like to moan about today, Chris?
The soda, basically.
Ooh.
No one wants to watch anyone surfing in crap waves. Like, you won a whole tour surfing in utter crap.
Okay, so is your problem with Adrian D'Souza or with the standard of waves on the tour? I'm a bit confused here Chris. What's your main beef?
It's the whole, like, Brazilian thing. Like, they just battle around and try and, like, they get good scores in crap waves.
Controversial.
He did win a pipe, so I can't really fault him for that.
Although, yeah, the last day was quite small, but at the start of the competition, there was a couple of 10, 12 footers he did pull in.
Is there nothing you admire about the story? Kind of came from the favelas or whatever, started with nothing, dirt poor, and rose up.
Like he's taking a dump every time he approaches the lip.
Okay, so not at all then.
Good.
Chris, irritating. Chris in Melbourne, you got it off your chest. Have we helped? Do you feel better?
I think so. I feel it was very cathartic. Just another Mona
Monday. Okay, well, we've got another caller on the line, and it is Tyrone. He's calling from Cornwall in the southwest of England. Tyrone, welcome to the podcast. What do you want to moan about?
I want to moan about those surf shops, like the surfing. You have to wait fucking ages to get served. Those shitty dogs hanging around. And, you just have to wait. You have to keep waiting till, they nonchalantly come over and speak to you in fucking English and that. And the second-hand clothes rails where they sell linen trousers and ruin wetsuits, that's what I fucking hate about it.
Okay. So when you say the surfing, I mean, they're just, as in French bars, surfing bars, or just these kind of ramshackly kind of surf bars you get in Europe in particular? Or just all of them?
I think it might just be that particular one.
Okay.
No, it's just that one.
Okay, Tyrone, well, you got that off your chest. Have you been helped?
Not really.
Okay.
Tyrone, and I didn't get a chance to help him.
Another satisfied customer. Just another Mona Monday.
Okay, we've got another caller. Okay, what's your name?
My name is Owen.
And where are you calling from, Owen?
I'm calling from Peckham Rye.
Oh, wow, that hotbed of surfing activity down there. And this is a segment called Just Another Moan at Monday. What would you like to moan about?
Well, I'd like to have a bit of a moan about the general state of the commentary on the WSL. Being landlocked, my only access to surfing a lot of the time. Joe Tappel, in particular, and Potts, if I'm going to be honest, managed to make surfing sound so absolutely fucking dull and horrible. I've never known anyone really talk so much bollocks on the TV.
Have you heard us? Have you heard Ben and I?
I have heard you two, and you two are potentially as good at talking bollocks, but at least it's amusing and interesting bollocks, and not just talking in the wrong tense about things that people are doing on waves,
So is it mainly the tense that gets you down?
The tense gets me when he says, he'll do a foam climb, not when I'm fucking up to speed, and then he goes, his little squeaky voice doing his... telling us what he's going to do even though he's already done it.
You mean it's the future perfect tense, it's a tense, I know the one you mean.
And just the fact that the way they both obviously have to talk all the time because they're commentators, but they spend the whole time sort of telling us how good the waves are even if they're crap, and describing things like foam climbs as if they're the most spectacular thing they've ever seen. I don't know how they manage it. They need to get someone like Wenocki did it. It was hilarious.
Okay. And have you ever gone so far as to press the mute button on these guys, Owen, or is your love of surfing too strong?
Is she is she there? Could we possibly have a chat with her?
She's not here now.
So she's equally not in favour of Joe Topel or Martin Fox's country.
She despises Joe Topel. She doesn't even know who he is.
I've got to say, that's I think that's harsh, personally. That's a bit harsh. But, you know, it's your this is your forum, Owen.
I'm not sure I know anyone who doesn't, except for perhaps you, Paul.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I mean, I'm not gonna. I mean, I'm recently coming back from a long-term commentary ban, Owen. So I can't
possibly about to start another one.
I can't go in too hard on the thing, but we like your opinion. We like your passion. We like your. We like your moan. It's just another Mona
Monday. I thought that's a bit harsh, to be honest.
Well,
it's all very. It's entertainment. You can. You're free to like and not like as much whoever you want, but. That's a bit harsh.
Yeah, well, as you well know, Paul, we've done it. It's a very difficult job, but I did like the way he articulated his argument. He felt it. He even his missus, who doesn't even surf all the same things, she was sort of blowing up in the background. And I like the fact that he used he's tense.
You see, my wife, whenever I have the webcast on, Heidi goes, "Oh, is that Joe?" And her little face lights up. So I'm just putting another side to the argument. Sure, she's always stoked to hear Joe. So to be honest with you, I think having a go at the commentary is a little bit kind of tired and cliche.
Seeing as the segment is Moan at Monday, your views...
Yeah, you probably made your mind. Anyway, but having a go at the commentary is a bit tired. I thought, D'Souza, you don't like him again. We've kind of heard that sort of stuff before. The other guy, Tyrone, just struck me as a little bit of a weirdo. I think it's hard to look past Eric. That was a good niche moan. It was unusual. It kind of caught us off guard. I thought that was a good moment. And also, he genuinely sounded pissed off, didn't he? He was mad. That's an hour of his life he's never going to get back.
I really dislike agreeing with you, Paul. It's one of the things that very rarely do. But on this instance, yeah, I like to give it to Eric on the East Coast. That really stuck in his craw, really grinded his gears.
We'll serve your podcast.
Well, that's about all we've got time for in this first episode of the podcast. Thanks to our guests, Derek and Mike Grover, for joining us. Thanks to everyone who got in touch to Moan at Monday. Remember, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Surf Europe Mag. Hit us up on Facebook. And we'll be back in around about a month's time. Happy surfing.
And get a dog right up ya.
Please hang up and try again.